What does it feel like to hear someone pray for you? What does it feel like to know someone is praying for you? This week's story from John is centered around Jesus praying. Jesus is praying for his disciples. Prayer has had a powerful impact on my life in the last few weeks. In the midst of this exciting journey that I am beginning with all of you, I have also been ending my seminary journey, writing papers, giving presentations, saying goodbyes, and preparing to leave Chicago. As one journey ends, another journey begins. These two journeys have blessed me with people and experiences and joys that are beyond my imagination. But if I'm being 100% honest with all of you, it's been a little hectic at times. I've been a little stressed out. And in the midst of all of this stress and hecticness, the people who have said, "How can I be praying for you?" have made such a difference. Pastor Sharon from the Synod office has prayed with me over the phone. On the Thursday morning that I flew here a few weeks ago to visit, my friend texted me and said, "We prayed for you at the beginning of class today." And just this week, my advisor stopped me in the hallway and asked, "Liz, I want to be praying for you. How can I do that?" And even this morning, my dad texted me because he had to work and said, "I didn't ask you how I could be praying for you this morning, but I've just been praying that you are dancing in the light of God." So what does it feel like to know that someone is praying for me? In each of these moments, I was reminded of God's love. I was reminded that someone cares about me. I was reminded that someone wants what is good for me. I was reminded that I am not alone. So I imagine this might be how the disciples are feeling as they sit and listen to Jesus pray for them. Across the four chapters of John that come before our story for today, Jesus sits with his disciples, he washes their feet, teaches them about love, and finally concludes his time with them in prayer. And we have caught a glimpse into this scene the last few weeks in our lectionary. In last week's gospel reading, Jesus claims the disciples as his friends. And now, with those words echoing in their ears, they hear their teacher and their friend pray for them. This story gives us a glimpse into the heart and mind of Jesus. And if you think about it, we're being given a glimpse into what Jesus is thinking and feeling in this very moment. Prayer is the place where we can be vulnerable, because it's a moment when we open our hearts and our minds to God. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in this moment. Jesus is sharing his most private and intimate thoughts with God. In this prayer, Jesus is bearing his heart and his soul. And this prayer also tells us what Jesus thinks of his disciples. And this prayer tells us what Jesus thinks of all of us. It tells us that Jesus prays for us. In this prayer, Jesus says the disciples are God's children, and he claims them as his own. Jesus prays, "They were yours, and you gave them to me. All mine are yours, and yours are mine." In these words, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus asks for the disciples' protection and prays, "Protect them in your name." In these words, Jesus is praying for God's presence with you and for your protection. And Jesus prays that the disciples be sanctified in truth. Ones who are sanctified are ones who are set apart. In the Old Testament, those who were sanctified were priests and prophets, but also ordinary people that God set apart to do extraordinary things. People like Abraham and Sarah, Noah, Samuel, Esther, Deborah, Jeremiah, and that's just to name a few. All of these people were sanctified, set apart by God to do God's work. Jesus is praying for the disciples and us to be set apart to do God's work. And if you think about it, we are just a part of a long line of God's people set apart to do extraordinary things in this world. But if we dig just a little bit deeper into that word, sanctify, the word sanctify in Greek comes from the same word that means holy. To be sanctified means to be made holy and set apart for God's work. So in these words, Jesus is praying for you to be made holy. But maybe in this moment, you're feeling like I do sometimes. Because I'll be honest with you. The language of being set apart, the language of being made holy, makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes. Because sometimes, I don't feel like I'm making the mark. Sometimes I feel like I'm falling short. Sometimes I don't think I deserve to be called holy. Sometimes I'm just a human being capable of messing things up, and I don't feel like I'm good enough. So maybe you feel that way sometimes too. But hear me out. Because we hear these words about being sanctified in light of what Jesus says next. Jesus prays, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so they also may be sanctified in truth." We are sanctified because Jesus is sanctified. We are made holy because Jesus is holy. This prayer, this act of love, these words are said because Jesus loves us. This prayer is said right before Jesus' most radical act of love, his death on the cross. On the cross, Jesus is sanctified. On the cross, Jesus is made holy and set apart. On the cross, Jesus dies for the ones he loves. So the cross is where we are claimed by Jesus. The cross is where we are sanctified, made holy, and set apart. The cross is where we know Jesus loves us. So no matter who we are or where we come from, when Jesus looks at us and prays this prayer, because he does, we have been claimed. We have been made holy. We are loved. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This prayer is for us. I imagine this prayer is something Jesus prays all the time. In fact, I imagine this prayer is something Jesus never stops praying. I imagine Jesus is saying this prayer right now. This prayer is for us. Because we hear echoes of this prayer every time a child of God is baptized. In baptism, we hear God's promise. We are claimed as Jesus' own. We are sanctified and made holy. We experience Jesus' love. This prayer is for us because we hear echoes of this prayer every time we gather in Jesus' name. Every time we gather around the table and share communion. In communion, we hear God's promise. We are claimed as Jesus' own. We are sanctified and made holy. And we experience Jesus' love. But we know that this isn't all of it. There is more. Once we have been baptized or have taken communion, there is more. There's a call. There's a call from Jesus. Because Jesus finishes his prayer with these words. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus is sending us out. This prayer is for us. We are the disciples Jesus is praying for right now. We are the disciples Jesus claims as his own. We are the disciples that Jesus prays protection for. We are the disciples Jesus sanctifies. This prayer is for us. This is a pretty cool story to be preaching about today, if you think about it. In this moment, we are gathered for a time of discernment. You and I are discerning together. We're discerning a journey that we might take together. Perhaps Jesus is praying for us right now, like he prayed for the disciples that night so many years ago. Jesus is praying for a journey that might be ahead of us, a journey for which Jesus is setting us apart, you and I, together. A journey for which Jesus is calling us to do God's work, you and I together. And yet, no matter what happens, I want you to remember that this prayer is for us. Jesus is praying for all of us. Jesus has claimed all of us. Jesus has made us holy. And Jesus is sending us out to do God's work in the world. We have been claimed and called. We have been made holy and set apart. And now we are being sent out into the world. So go, share the good news. Do God's work. Amen.